Hi everybody, and welcome to this, the very first episode of the Blind Test Drive podcast. My name is Damo, and today I'm going to be test driving the Smart Vision 2 mobile phone from Capsys. Now, I'm not going to give you a 2 hour long demo of all its functions and features. What I'm going to do for this episode is just to provide a general overview of the device, and then from there I'll do some separate podcasts on individual features, in particular probably the navigation feature. So some of you may be familiar with Capsys from previous devices that they've built, such as the Captain Mobility and the very early Captain Plus. Now, I should say from the outset that this is a very different beast. It feels much more solid. The keypad is really nice to use. And unlike the previous devices, which were a dedicated GPS device, this is an Android-based mobile phone, but it has the Captain navigation software built into it. Let's start off with a physical description of the device. It's probably around about the size of an iPhone 6 Plus or 7 Plus. So it is quite large, but no larger than any other modern smartphone. On the front face of the device, the top 4 inches or so is a touch screen. Below that, so probably the bottom maybe quarter or third of the device, is a tactile keypad. And this is, I guess, what makes this different from most of the other smartphones on the market today. This still has a numeric keypad and a tactile navigation section. And I'll talk a little bit about the keypad in a second. On the very top of the touchscreen, there is the front-facing camera for video calls and also the earpiece. And the keypad consists of two distinct sections. The top section is your sort of navigation section, if you like, and the bottom section is your standard numeric telephone keypad. In the middle of the navigation section, you have the Navi block, which is a square key that serves as your up, down, left, and right, and your OK button in the middle. To the left of that, you have two buttons arranged one above another, and they are separated by a raised horizontal bar. The top one of those is the home button, and the bottom one is the menu button. To the left of those, you've got a button with three vertically arranged raised dots, and that is your call pickup button. To the right of the central navigation pad, you've got the same arrangement again, so two buttons, one above another, separated by a raised bar. The top one of those is your return or back button, and the one below that is your delete button. To the right of those, you've got a small button with three dots arranged in a horizontal configuration, and that is your call end or hang up button. Below that, you've got the standard telephone keypad with a raised dot on the number 5, and of course, either side of the 0, you've got the star and hash keys as normal. On the top edge of the device, so the right hand top corner, you have the power button, and that is all that is on the top edge. On the right-hand edge, moving down, we've got the voice recognition or voice command button, and then below that, a long bar, which is your volume up and volume down buttons. On the bottom edge, from left to right, you've got a 3.5mm headphone jack, the main speaker, and a USB-C connector, which is used for charging and also connecting the device to a computer. There's nothing on the left-hand side. Oh, I should also mention there is an area on the bottom edge where you can attach a neck strap, which also comes with it if you want to wear the device on a lanyard. On the rear surface of the device, so the back panel, which incidentally is removable, you do take the back panel off to install the battery and also to install the SIM card and or a micro SD card if you want to. So on the back panel, the very top edge is the camera. And either side of that is two small LEDs, which are used to assist the camera and also for things like color detection and OCR. Below that, you have an indented round button, and that is your SOS button. So once that's set up, if you hold that button in for 3 seconds, you can have it do a range of things, including call a list of 10 people or text a list of 10 people with a predefined message. And you can also elect to have your GPS coordinates sent to them as well. So if you get yourself into trouble, it is a handy feature to be able to activate that. To remove the back panel, there is sort of a little notch on the bottom that you can get a fingernail under, and the whole back panel just peels away. Installing the battery is fairly simple. You can feel where the terminals are on the top of the battery, and you can also feel the terminals inside the battery compartment where the battery needs to sort of match up to those. It can really only go in one way. The SIM card slot is above and to the right of the battery as you're looking at the back of the phone. I decided not to do sort of a ceremonial unboxing, if you like, and just to sort of go straight into the device itself. So having had a look at the physical layout of the device, let's switch it on and have a bit of a look around. So when you hold the power button in, you get a small vibration, and it'll be followed in a few seconds by a musical tone. And in a moment, the phone will start speaking.
Home screen.
So now we're up and running.
Device unlocked. Battery level, 98% remaining.
And it's told us that the device is unlocked and it's given me my battery status. Now, you'll notice at the moment it's using the Australian Karen voice. When you first get the device, it's set up with the UK Serena voice, but I've customised this because I'm in Australia, as you probably picked by the accent. You can also, though, some of you who used to use the old Nokias with Talks will be pleased to know that you can purchase through the Google Play Store a copy of Eloquence and run Eloquence on it, and I do use that as my default voice for the simple reason that I find it's the easiest voice to hear at high speed and low volume. But you can use whichever you like. There are a range of voices that you can download free with the device, or you can purchase your own if you want Eloquence or something else. So now that we're up and running, we're at the home screen
off.
Or we would have been if I hadn't been talking so much. So we'll unlock the device again.
Battery level, 98% remaining.
And we can now move, we can either navigate using the touch screen or we can use the keypad, which is what I'm going to do during this demo. So I'm just going to press the down arrow on the Navi block.
1300 hours, Saturday the 20th of May.
That's our time.
Applications.
We've got our applications section.
Contacts.
Contacts.
Phone.
Phone.
Messaging, 3, messages not read.
And
1301, Saturday the 20th of May.
That's about all I've got on the home screen at the moment. You can customize that, so you can add different apps or different widgets to the home screen. Let's have a quick look through the applications section, since that's what you'll probably use most.
Applications. Applications.
I've done that by arrowing to the applications option and pressing enter. If we were using the touch screen, I could have sort of swiped doing a one finger swipe left to right until I found the applications option and then double tapped. But I'm going to use the keypad for the rest of this demo.
Applications. Backup and restore.
We've got a backup and restore.
Book reader.
The book reader allows you to read a number of different media formats, including DAISY.
Calculator. Calendar.
The calculator and the calendar are fairly self-explanatory.
Camera.
The camera. Likewise.
Chrome.
We've got the Chrome web browser that is present on all Android devices. And I should mention this is running Android 6.0 at the time of recording, so it's one version behind the current.
Clock. Colors detection.
The color detector is quite nifty. It does use the camera on the back of the phone and it allows you to just have the color spoken, or you can detect a specific color. So you can pick a color and then use the camera to try and find that color on the piece of fabric that you're looking at.
Contacts. Downloads. Email. ET Eloquence TTS.
So that's the Eloquence engine that I've installed.
File manager. FM radio.
We've got an FM radio, as you see there. You do need the headphones connected. As with most phone-based FM radios, it uses the headphone cable as the antenna.
Gmail.
Gmail.
Google. Captain.
Now, this is the Captain navigation software. I'm going to do a separate section on this, or a separate podcast on this, because it is quite detailed and it is quite powerful.
Light detection.
Light detector, that's quite handy as well. It allows you to obviously determine if the lights are on in your room or whatever.
Magnifier.
There is a basic magnifier, so you can hold the camera over some print and have it displayed on the screen for low vision users.
Maps.
That's the Google Maps, which you can also use, and it is very accessible.
messaging, 3, messages not read.
I should check my text messages, shouldn't I?
NFC.
NFC, that's your near field communication, and I'll talk about that a little later, but it does allow you to use some NFC tags and things to identify objects and that sort of thing. But I'll talk about that in detail in another podcast.
Note.
That's your standard note type app.
OCR.
OCR. So this doesn't run KNFB Reader, although you could install KNFB on it. It does have its own OCR application, but I've done some testing with it and found it to work very well indeed. I'm quite impressed with it so far.
Phone.
The standard phone app, of course.
Photos. Play music. Play Store.
That's the standard Google Play Store.
Quick Support.
That allows Capsys or your local dealer to remote in and provide support if you're having trouble with the device.
SOS.
SOS, that allows you to set up the SOS function that we talked about a little earlier.
Search. Settings. SIM toolkit. Sound recorder. Tune in radio.
Tune in radio doesn't come standard with it. It's just an app that I've installed.
Uber.
Likewise with that one.
Voice search.
The voice search, that's uses your standard OK Google service. You can activate that, though, from the voice command button on the side of the phone.
Web radio.
You've got a web radio for listening to internet radio.
Applications.
And then we're back up to the top of our list. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of the range of applications that come pre-installed. And like any other Android device, you can go through the Google Play Store and install others if you want, Twitter and Facebook and those sorts of things. We did briefly talk about the Google voice search there before, and I should mention that because that is another way of controlling the phone. So you can control it from the touch screen, you can control it from the keypad as I've been doing, or you can access some things via the voice control. So for example, what is the weather like today?
Today's forecast for Wellington Point is 23 degrees with showers.
So you can do that sort of thing. So that's fairly similar to those of you that have an iPhone or an Apple device of some sort would be familiar with Siri and the sorts of things you can do with that. The Google one is arguably as powerful, if not better in some ways. So you can have it call someone, text someone, those sorts of things. And I've found it works quite well. The other thing you can do, which is kind of nice, is if you're in a text field, you can press that button and dictate into it. So if, for example, I'm in the Captain application and I don't want to have to enter an address via the alphanumeric keypad, I can simply speak the address and it will do voice recognition on that and convert it to text, so I can then edit it if I want to. So that is quite powerful. Now, in terms of why you might be interested in one of these, I guess there's a few different use cases
screen
that
off.
I can see. So, first of all, if you're the sort of person that's been using an old Nokia for years, and the reason you haven't gone with an iPhone or another Android device is that you simply don't like the idea of using a touchscreen, then this might be the device for you, because you can do everything from the tactile keypad. Those of you, as I said, who like Eloquence might also find that a bit of a draw card. Also, though, people who perhaps haven't ventured into the world of smartphones yet at all, and you've been a little bit afraid to because of the touchscreen, again, this might suit you. The other use case is for people who want a separate GPS device. So at the time of recording this, there aren't any standalone GPS devices around anymore. And speaking personally, I've had a few experiences where I've tried to use my iPhone for GPS, and I've found that it just hammers the battery really hard. And you can end up in a situation where you've got no navigation and no ability to call anyone to get yourself out of trouble. So I'm actually considering one of these as a second device to use primarily as a GPS, because that way I've still got my iPhone if I want to call anyone if I'm having problems, but I've got this if I want to use it for navigation. And there are some really good features in the navigation system that aren't available in other products. So this does do a really nice job of map discovery. So for someone like me who travels a lot, I can sit in my motel room, put in the address, and have a look and decide what would happen if I went out of my motel and turned left, or what would happen if I turned right. And if I went up to that intersection up there and turned left, where would I end up? So you can have a really good look at your surroundings without actually setting out and doing it. You might also use that if you want to determine whether a route is safe to attempt before you actually do it. Also, the maps are loaded directly onto the device as they would be with the previous Captains or your Trekker Breezes or those sorts of products. So you don't necessarily need mobile reception in order to navigate. And that's sort of a bit of a contrast to a lot of the phone-based GPS products out there that don't download the maps directly to the phone. They use this cellular network or the data network to grab little bits of map data as they need it. And that's fine. There's good reasons for that. But if you travel overseas a lot, or you travel into remote areas where perhaps the mobile coverage is a little bit patchy, or, you know, even if you're just in an area where there's a lot of tall buildings and the mobile reception perhaps isn't good, you can find that all of a sudden you start getting erroneous directions or erroneous information about where you are. Whereas having the map data on the device, it tends to alleviate a lot of that. But I'll go through the navigation software in detail in another podcast. But that gives you a little bit of an idea of what you can do with this. And if you've been thinking about Android but sort of haven't been sure about it, this is quite nice because it does allow you to install third-party apps and have speech with them. So it's not a closed system, if you like. It does, I think, and I'm not 100% sure how this works, but it uses TalkBack, I think, in conjunction with the Capsys accessibility service. So that means that if an app that you install is compatible with TalkBack, then it'll work fine with this, and you should, in most cases, be able to access it using the keypad. There are some where you might enable the touchscreen and use the Explore by Touch, but for the most part, you should be able to navigate most apps using the tactile keypad. So that gives you a little bit of an idea of what the device looks like. We might close it there for this particular podcast, and then I'll do some recordings of some of the separate functions to show you how some of that works. If you have any questions, feel free to send me an email, damo, D-A-M-O, at mcmorrow, mcmorrow.net.au, or you can leave a comment on the podcast page where you downloaded this podcast. I hope you'll come back and join me for future episodes. Thank you very much for listening, and bye for now.